بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah is coming to a close, and soon inshallah in a couple of days we will be entering the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Now these months, right from the month of Ramadan, as Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuh has mentioned in one of his talks, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pours His mercy, and Allah has created avenues for us and ways for us to make amends, to turn to Him and to gain from His treasures of mercy. So from the time of Ramadan, the moment Ramadan dawned, Allah ta'ala's mercy we were all experiencing. We kept roza. At the termination of Ramadan, there was the Eid al-Fitr, a day which Allah kept for our rejoicement, and even on that day to show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had given us the ability to keep roza and fast in the month of Ramadan. Then we had given Sadqatul Fitr, and immediately after the month of Ramadan comes Shawwal. So from the first of Shawwal, the months of Hajj already begin. Prior to the first of Shawwal, nobody could go for Hajj. But from the first of Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijj, these are the months of Hajj. So immediately after Ramadan, Allah gave us the months of Hajj. And we are well aware that so many Hujjaz have already left for this journey of Hajj. So many will be going very soon, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hajis. And of course now, during these days which we are approaching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to Mufassireen, He has taken an oath on Wal-Fajr Wal-Layalin Ashr. Allah has taken an oath on dawn, Fajr, and Wal-Layalin Ashr, the 10 nights. Now Mufassireen say these 10 nights refer to the 10 nights and the 10 days of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. These are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah and the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, which are extremely auspicious. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned, "Ma min ayyamin al-amal as-salih fiha habbu ila Allah azza wa jalla min hadhihi al-ayyam." A'mal as-salihah, good deeds that are done during these 10 days, of course, the moment the moon is sighted for Dhul-Hijjah. So from the first of Dhul-Hijjah till the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, these 10 days are so auspicious that any good action, any amal salih done during these days, they are more beloved to Allah Rabbul Izzat than action, than good deeds done in any other time of the year. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, when they heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah loves action, good actions being done during these days, and it is so beloved in the sight of Allah, immediately they posed a question, walal jihadu fi sabilillah? Because they knew the importance of jihad in the path of Allah. And here Rasulullah is saying that Allah loves good actions most when it is done in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So Rasulullah said, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Yes, Not even jihad in the path of Allah except illa. A man goes out in jihad, فَلَمْ يَرْجَعْ بِشَيْءٍ, and he dies as a martyr. So that we cannot compare. Otherwise, actions, good actions done during these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are extremely beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person who fasts during these days, and of course on the 10th Eid al-Adha day, there is no fasting, but the remaining days, a person who keeps roza, then it is equivalent to keeping roza for an entire year. One day you keep, and you get the sawab of keeping 1 year's fast. On the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, specifically it is mentioned, that whoever keeps roza on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, so whichever day the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah will be for us here in South Africa, it's not necessarily, it has to coincide with Arafat day there. So on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, whoever keeps roza, then his previous year's sins are forgiven, and his the year that is coming, the year's sins are forgiven. Ulama mention that here, when you say the sins are forgiven, these are reference to only the minor sins. For major sins, a person has to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to cry to Allah Rabbul Izzat. We have to promise Allah we will not go back to the sins. We have to feel the nadamat and the shame, and we have to abandon those sins. But all the other minor sins are forgiven. We know this Dhul-Hijjah is the last month, Islamic month of our year. So the entire year's minor sins are forgiven just by keeping roza on the day of Arafat. So from this we can see how great are these days that are coming. When Allah Rabbul Izzat Himself has actually taken a qasam. Now why would Allah take a qasam on anything? We discussed this previously, to show the importance of those things. There's no need for Allah to take a qasam on anything. But when Allah has taken a qasam, for example, on time, or on the sun or the moon, Allah wants to bring the importance of these things into our life and make us understand how valuable time is, for example. And for us to ponder over the sun and the moon and realize who the creator of these things are. Likewise, Allah has taken a qasam on walayalin ashr, on the night of the 10 days which we discuss now. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhir adahi ya Rasulullah? What is this qurbani all about? Now the hujjaj will go for hajj. Those of us who are here, we will still observe qurbani, the day of Eid al-Adha. So Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallam, what is this qurbani all about? Rasulullah sallam replied, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Immediately after that, the Sahaba asked, what will we get? We understand it is the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We understand his sacrifice. We understand the spirit of his sacrifice. But by us sacrificing animals, what will we gain? What will we get? So Rasulullah explained to them, بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. For every hair on the body of the animal that you are going to sacrifice, you are going to get one good deed, one neki. Now we cannot even imagine how much of hay is on the body of the animals that we would sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, generally, during these days, we look back into history and we see how great a Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him in the Quran. Various ayat have been mentioned regarding Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and in one particular verse in the 14th para, Allah encapsulates the greatness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam so beautifully when Allah enumerates his good qualities. Allah says, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa walam yakun min al-mushrikeen shakiran li'an'amihi ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim." Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummah." He was an ummah. Now if I say the word ummah, The first image and picture that comes into any person's mind is an entire nation. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, although he was a single person, but he was like an entire nation. Because of his exemplary character, he was an imam, Allah chose him to be a leader. And he had the qualities of a leader. The forbearance, the patience, the sacrifice, the loyalty, the wafa, the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. His unwavering iman and faith, the manner in which he called the people of his family and his and the people where he lived, how he called them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the various challenges that he had to go through. He was tested numerous occasions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Mufassireen have mentioned in length different explanations of kalimat. How did Allah ta'ala test Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam? So there were prohibitions, there were commandments, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam abided by the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He completed and he successfully passed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we say, with flying colors. The intense love that Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam had for Allah Rabbul Izzat, his loyalty, his submission that we see in Qurbani, all these things earned him the name or the title of Khalilullah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Allah says, kana ummah. Mufassirin say ummah refers to imam. Like how ummah, in various other verses of the Quran, we don't have time to go into that detail, where they have different meanings. Ummah also means time. Ummah also means a nation. Ummah also means an imam, a leader. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was a leader. He was a leader. Qanitan lillah. He was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the command was, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, without any reluctance from his part, immediately he brings into action the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanita lillahi hanifa. Hanifan simply means to move away from all the other isms, creeds, religions, ideas, ideologies, all falsehood, all batil, towards haqq and to the one deen of Islam. The people of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, his father or his uncle Azar, he used to carve idols and they used to worship idols. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam persevered. Repeatedly he goes to his father and invites him to the oneness of Allah. And he proves to his people the folly of worshipping idols with simple logic and reasoning. He tried desperately. The manner in which he invited was with very polite and kind words, with affection. Ya abati, oh my beloved father. He was not harsh. He was not cruel. In fact, when they were bent on not listening to him, they disobeyed him. After desperate attempts that he had made, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam still tells his father that soon I will ask forgiveness on your behalf. Of course, Allah ta'ala then prohibited him from doing such a thing. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam felt there's still some hope that perhaps my father may accept this Islam. وَلَمْ يَكُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not of the polytheists. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. Whatever bounties we had bestowed upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, he showed gratitude for those favors and bounties. Allah then says, اِجْتَبَاهُ. We chose him. The word اِجْتَبَا. Normally in Arabic, this word, the root letters of this word is when water from different sources is collected and placed in one place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam from mankind. Like how he chose other Anbiya alayhi salatu salam and the greatest of the Nabi, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala chose Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah guided him to the straight path. Allah says, in the dunya we have given him hasana. We have given him hasana. Hasana, ulama explained it, various tafsir of hasana. One is a pious child. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was given Ismail alayhi salatu salam. He was even given Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. So he was given this hasana in this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah says, in the hereafter also, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam will be amongst the salihin, the pious ones. Now we have heard the lesson of Qurbani from childhood days. And we have heard the lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, how he broke the idols, and how he invited his father, and how he was thrown into the fire. So we're not going to repeat these incidents. But let us analyze, let us ponder and reflect over what the main lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was. And what spirit we should have in our qurbani. What is the ruh? What is the spirit of qurbani? What lesson do we draw from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, especially? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Rasulullah tells the sahaba that this was the sunnah of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And therefore you and I should emulate the sunnah. So Rasulullah sallallahu himself emulated the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. We look throughout his life, it was submission. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah commands him to submit, to surrender. There are two things. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, one is nafs parasti and one is khuda parasti. Either a person becomes a slave and a worshipper of his desires, his egos, his whims, his fancies, his passions, his own desires, or he becomes a true slave, a loyal slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two groups we have. And we have seen in Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, in his life, that he was a true, genuine slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A slave that is in the bondage of its master. The slave will carry out and execute the commands of its master. So it will do whatever the master commands it. But the slave will wait for that day when he will gain the freedom from the master. Freedom from the slavery. We are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all are the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are also in a bondage. Allah is the master of all masters. We are his slaves. And if you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he too was also a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more marifat he gained of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he recognized his Allah. And from childhood days, from the time he was a little boy, he was in search of this truth. He was in search of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would look at the stars, perhaps these may be, the stars may be my creator. And then he sees when they disappear. And he thinks maybe it's the moon. And then he sees this moon disappears. And then he sees the sun. And he sees the sun disappears. He realizes that there is somebody greater. There's a great force, there's somebody else. There's another that, another being. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, from childhood days, he had the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each day, as this marifat in him increased, he gained more of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engulfed his heart, when this love of Allah engulfed his heart, when he became a true ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he began to enjoy the slavery. He began to enjoy being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And exactly like that we see in all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, especially in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they did not take this slavery to be a burden. They did not take it to be a bodge. They enjoyed every moment of the slavery. They realized that we are the slaves of a mighty, powerful being, a merciful being, a loving Allah, a most beautiful Allah, a most generous Allah, a most kind Allah. And Allah who wants to see how genuine we are in our loyalty towards Him, how sincere we are. Now this is a lesson of submission. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he desires a child, even at old age, and then finally when he's granted this child, now, when the test comes, when he sees his child now running about with him, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ, a time, a period, when any father looks forward towards, when he sees his son now helping him. If the father is busy washing the car, then he sees the son coming and assisting the father. If he's repairing something, and he sees his little son coming next to him, and taking away the tools from his father, and he wants to assist the father. If he's in the business, then the son will come and assist the father. This is the time when any parent wants to see that his son now is assisting him. And father and son, they become so closely united. This bond is so strong between them. Imagine after so many years he's granted a child, and now this child is the coolness of his eyes, and he's reached this age, and now he sees the dream. And the dream of every Nabi is the true dream. And he sees that now I have to slaughter this child of mine. He didn't look for any other interpretation. Because he was a Nabi of Allah. And the dream of a Nabi of Allah is true. Again, without any reluctance. He knew he has to now abide by this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he poses this question to his son. Not because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, ma'adallah, was reluctant or he was hesitant. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you have to say, my son? He wanted to test his own son. Oh, ulama and mufassirin explained, he wanted to mentally prepare his son. Said, now, oh my son, I am going to slaughter you. Hazrat Thaniwi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to slaughter himself. The command here is, don't kill yourself, but you have to slaughter your beloved child. He says, perhaps it is easier to kill oneself than taking the life of one's own child. Now look at this daunting task on him. What a test. You and I, because we know the outcome of this event, that Allah Ta'ala sent the ram, and Allah Ta'ala spared the life of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So already we know the result. But imagine at that particular time, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam takes Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and they are there on the field, on the ground, falamma aslama, again the lesson of submission. I repeat what Mullah Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah mentioned, one is khuda parasti, and the other one is nafs parasti. Where we become loyal servants and slaves of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not our desires. Now both submit, both surrender. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, according to the different tafsirs, he tells his father that let my face be facing the ground. لِكَيْ لَا أَطْطَرِبْ. So that I do not shake. When you are going to place that knife, I do not become scared. I do not become awestruck. And then he tells his father to remove his shirt. It must not become stained. So that if this blood-stained shirt goes back to my mother and she will see it, she will also find it so difficult to accept. And he says, fasten my body tightly with a rope. And oh my father, sharpen the knife so that you will slaughter me swiftly. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. That Allah has ordained us to be kind to every single creation of Allah. Human being or animal. Muslim or non-Muslim. We're not going to go into the details of this hadith, but the part where sacrificing an animal, Rasulullah says, sharpen the knife. And other riwayats, don't sharpen the knife in front of the animal. One sahabi was sharpening the knife in front of the animal. Rasulullah says, do you want to give this animal two mouths? Now these are lessons. This is akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are beautiful teachings. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, now begins to slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and we know Allah ta'ala had then said that قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ رُؤْيَا, and you have passed the test, and Allah in lieu of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah sent the ram from Jannah. But the lesson is submission. Submission. Not becoming slaves of our passions, our egos, our fancies. And therefore ulama say, at the time of qurbani, when we are placing the knife on the animal, in reality we are placing the knife on our nafs. And this is the real ruh of qurbani. This is the spirit of qurbani. Otherwise it becomes a practice, a ritual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَن يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The blood and the flesh does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is independent. Allah is not in need of the flesh or the blood of the animal. وَلَاكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِكُمْ. What is the taqwa that Allah talks about in this verse? Allah wants to see this spirit of submission, this loyalty, this dedication. That we are surrendering ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we are placing the knife on this animal. Oh my Allah, I'm going to place this knife on my nafs. And the placing of the knife on the nafs is not just for one or two days in our life. Every single one of us, whether we are in the colleges, university, surgeries or practices, workplaces, homes, wherever we may be, each one of us, we are tested by nafs. The temptations of nafs. And therefore we have to bring back the lesson and the morals that we learn and the lessons and the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true spirit of qurbani. Otherwise we will mention these incidents, and every year of our life we hear the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but we need to cogitate, we need to reflect, we need to ponder. That what lesson do I draw from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, from the life of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, from the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, from the life of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned in the hadith, when the person is sacrificing the animal, before the first drop of blood can reach the ground, Allah already accepts the qurbani of the person. On the day of Qiyamah, it becomes hijabam min an-nar. This animal becomes a shield. It becomes a barrier for the person from Jahannam. In one hadith, ta'ti, it will come bi adlafiha wa ash'ariha wa quruniha. It will come with its horns, with its hooves, with all its hair. And Allah will intensify this animal 70 times more. And then it will be placed on the scales of the person's good deed in whichever form Allah chooses. So imagine how weighty the person's scale will become. How many animals he sacrificed in his life. All these, Allah ki rahmat bahana dunti hai. When Allah wants to shower His mercy upon some person, Allah looks for excuses to forgive us. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, is this only for us? The Ahlul Bayt? Some say no. لَنَا وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. It is for us and for the entire mankind, for all the Muslims. Therefore, that person who has the means of making qurbani, and despite having the means, he still does not obey the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not make a qurbani. Rasulullah says, فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مُصَلَّانَا. He must not even attend the idgah. We don't need him. In other words, Rasulullah is saying, we don't need him. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Each year we're making qurbani. Let us improve on our qurbani skills. Let us improve on the spirit of qurbani, the ruh of qurbani, the submission. Let us bring it back and bring it back alive in our lives. And let us teach our children also that this is the real spirit of qurbani. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.